We'll be talking about a familiar passage today, but looking at it just a little closer than we may have in the past. And as you're turning there, remember, again, Anderson Road with those signs, that's a roadblock. And we just have to think about that. As we look at today's message, we want to think about roadblocks in our life and blockades in our life and think about that. And I want to look at our worship. And our worship just doesn't happen here as music's playing and we're singing. Our worship happens throughout the day. Our worship happens throughout the week. Our worship is all around us. And we're going to look at our worship and our ministry. The same thing. Well, I don't have a ministry. I'm not a minister. We should all. We have a calling. We have a gift. And we should all have a ministry that we're working on. And so we're going to be looking at our ministry, our service to others, how we serve one another. We had a great opportunity this last week to go to the food bank and serve others. People will never know. We took a look at their warehouse and how fascinating that was. There were gigantic bags of cereal taller than me. I kid you not. Gigantic bags of cereal taller than me, this big around. And I thought the interesting thing was, as we were there serving, because there weren't hungry people sitting around us, it was real hard or real easy to distance ourselves from that problem. Yet it exists because they have an entire warehouse of food to take care of those people. As a matter of fact, they just built an addition onto that warehouse to take care of more people. People can't be that messed up. Yes, that's why they're building new churches. As a matter of fact, that's why other churches are growing and expanding and building up. Because there are people that need Jesus Christ in their life. Amen? But those people have to admit it. So in Philippians, this book is a great book. It's instruction to us as Christians. Hey, what do we do? How do we live our life? And Philippians gives a lot of great examples. A lot of great examples. It talks about, in the very beginning, thankfulness. It talks about prayer. It says, preach Christ in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. It says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former ones preach Christ for selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. And so he says, preach Christ in what you do. Adam, I don't have a pulpit. You go to school with people. You go to work. You're at home. You have children. You have spouses. You have parents. You have all these different people you interact with. Preach Christ. I don't know what words to say. Preach Christ with your actions. Preach Christ with the words you speak and the way you speak them. Not Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, but words of kindness, support, encouragement. Suffering for Christ's sake is another thing it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I love this in verse 29. It says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Okay, believers, that was us. We came up, we partook of the Lord's Supper. We are believers. And it says, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Know that suffering is going to come in many different ways, in many different styles, and for different lengths of time. God has given us different levels of endurance and different levels of encouragement in our own life so that we can handle those various trials that we go through. Humility, it talks about how to live a life of humility. Do all things without complaining and disputing with one another, says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Rejoice in the Lord always. When it says to do these things without complaining and disputing, it also tells us further on, press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. And then it tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Adam, there's a lot of things in Philippians. It's given us great instruction how to live our life. But I really don't like it, Adam. Because I have to humble myself. That sometimes means apologizing. I've got to spend time in prayer, and I'm just really not sure how to pray to God. You see, I prayed to Him before, and He didn't answer my prayer. That was 20 years ago, so now I just kind of skip it. And by the way, Adam, He knows what I want. So we've got that part that says God is all-knowing. We just miss the other part that says He tells us to pray to Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. But today we're going to focus on Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 8. Very familiar. Eric mentioned this just a little while back in one of his messages. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and then listen, this is a part I want us to get, and if there is anything praiseworthy, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Is there anything praiseworthy going on in your life? And a lot of times when we ask that question, the first thing we do is give a rundown of all the things that are not praiseworthy. I don't understand why we do that. Things going good in your life? Well, here's the things that are going wrong. I didn't ask that. Is there anything praiseworthy going on in your life? It says meditate on these things. So our focus, we're back to our focus. We've got to look at these things. Meditate on these things means to think a lot about, to deliberate. We may say it is hash over and over and over. Evaluate. And so when we say to meditate on these things, Jesus tells us to think about these things over and over and over. Is something praiseworthy going on in your life? Think about it over and over. But as I stated, when we say, is anything praiseworthy? We give down the rundown of the things that are not going right. And guess what? I guarantee when we say that, that's what we're meditating on. Because it was the first thing that pulled up into our mind when we said, anything praiseworthy going on? Not really, got all these problems. Oh, Lordy, okay. Well, the house, this and that. So you've got a house, praiseworthy. It's got all these problems, but you got a house, right? Because we've seen people in Guatemala. Many of you have been other places and seen people. They don't have a house. Or I guarantee their house has a lot more problems than yours. In that it doesn't have a floor. It barely has a roof. So we've got to adjust our focus again. Whatever is praiseworthy. Meditate and think over and over and over about these things. We take time to focus our energy and meditate on the things that are not. But when we do that, when we focus on the things that are praiseworthy, what does it do? It changes our attitude. Our outlook changes. Our future changes. Our outcome starts to change. Or at least we noticed it changed. We're so good at meditating on those negative things in our life. Rehashing over and over. And God help us when somebody hurts our feelings. When they hurt our feelings, man, those are the things that we just meditate on day in and day out. My boss said this to me. I'm trying to think how I can get back at him. My friend said this. Let me think how I can get back. My fellow student in class said this. Some jerk coming down the hall bumped into me and said this to me. I'm going to think how I can get him back next time. And then, what do we meditate on after that? The revenge strategy. Let us meditate on that. How can I get back? And please tell me you guys have done it, because I've been there. And I know I'm not the only one. At least I'm hoping I'm not. But if I am, so be it, then I'm confessing, because I've been there. And I rehash it, and I rehash it, and I rework it, and I redo it. You ever send out an email? Revenge email. And 2 seconds later, I shouldn't have done that. Rarely comes a revenge apology email. We meditate over and over. How do we do these things? I can tell by the laughs I'm not the only one. Thank you. Thank you for that. When we get victory over this area of our life, Christians, when we get victory over this area of our life, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I was sharing just a little bit of a story from someone I work with, and I said, Adam, can I talk to you? Yeah, sure. And I figure the I need to quit is coming. Yeah, sure. Come on, let's go talk. And she turns and she looks at me. She said, I need some spiritual advice. Blew my mind. It's a focus issue right now in her life. And that's simply the information I gave her. You need to find the things that are good. Meditate on those things. Look for those things. Look at those things. When this thing's pulling our life apart and pulling our families apart, pulling relationships apart, I said, you've got to find the things that are good. She says, I have a daily devotion. I pray every day. I believe in God. And I said, I'm going to go out on a limb here. What church do you attend regularly? I said, okay, forget that. What church do you attend? I don't. But what I hear her rehashing throughout the day is the negative parts of her life, focusing on the things that are going wrong and the people that have hurt her. So I simply had to try and redirect her focus. And in my office, I do a couple silly little things, but I think they're important and I find value in them. I'm in the furniture business in my other job, for those that don't know. And we have little signs that say one of a kind on it. I'm one of a kind is what it says. And we put those in where we have last one items. And every person that works for me gets one of those from me. And they get a little signed card that I write to them, thanking them and welcoming them to my office. My part of that. And I do that for people that start the company as well. But especially my office, they get that. And they get a little card folded in half, folded with a little whatever. So it stands up on the desk. This says, I'm one of a kind. And I tell them, as silly as that seems, you are one of a kind. And you are one of a kind. And you are one of a kind. And each one of those 10 people that work in my office has that sitting on their desk. And I tell them to leave it on their desk as a reminder that they are one of a kind. So I took a picture of that on her desk. And I also give them these, I give them these personalized license plate things that have their name on it. And it has their start date. And it's like a temporary license plate thing anyway. Silly things we do in there. And I took a picture of that, and she happens to have her I'm one of a kind stuck right next to that. So I took a picture of it, and I sent it to her, and I sent her scripture, and I said, when you wake up, think of this thing. Know that you're one of a kind from Jesus Christ. And sometimes we have to remember that. We have to remember that Jesus Christ made us, and He made us in His image. And He knew who we were going to be before we were born. He knew that. And what I'm talking about is just remembering what our focus needs to be. Our attitude changes, our outlook changes, our future changes, our outcome changes when we readjust our focus. And when we meditate on the right things in life, we do those things. When we get victory over those things, Paul's advice to us or really his direction. It's life changing. Look in Romans chapter 12 real quick. And Paul gave us some other direction and comments. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But it's the verse after that I really want us to focus on as we look at finding things that are praiseworthy and meditating on those. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But why? It says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we meditate on these things each day, we're renewing our mind daily. And God's Word tells us we've got to do those things. Crucify the flesh every day. Meditate on the praiseworthy things every day. That big cross in the corner isn't up here in the center. We can't see the beautiful cross hanging behind the screen that's there. It's always been there. And so we lose focus. We lose sight of the cross. Where's Jesus Christ in this place? I don't know. I don't see the cross representing him. That's just a symbol. That's just a symbol. He's in the sunset. He's in the clouds. He's in the rain. He lives in us. Have we made room for him to be a roommate with us in this body? He lives in us. Our integrity. It's so important. Cindy and I went to help with a concession stand Friday night at the football game out in Choctaw. There were 20 people on the visitor side where our concession stand is, so they didn't need our help. But there was a young man that came over from the Choctaw band. And I watched this guy. Awkward looking kid. My God, he was awkward. Oh, but he was made in God's image. And I watched him walk back down the stairs the long way around the track. And next thing I know, he's back there at the concession stand. I thought, wow, come back for seconds. Excellent. There's another $2 into our $20 pot that night. And he got something that he hadn't paid for. And I thought, man, who cares? Who noticed? Nobody knew. Didn't hurt anybody. But that kid knew. My wife standing there wasn't about to let him pay. She said, I'm paying for this. Thank you for your integrity. And I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I went on a band trip to St. Louis on the charter bus with a band. What an experience that was. And coming back, someone, I didn't hear what was said, but she said, don't say that. And I thought, my ears kind of perked up. I thought, oh, that sounded pretty intense. And I heard someone say, why not? She said, because I don't want to hear bad jokes. And I don't want to hear inappropriate jokes. I don't want to hear that. And I thought, oh, more character standing up in young people saying, I don't want to hear that foul joke. Our integrity is where it's at. When we lose our integrity, that is not praiseworthy. That's not to God. And when things are praiseworthy, do you think God doesn't meditate on those things? I don't know what it is when I look across the street at the Buddhist temple. But I find it a beautiful place. And we can look at it and say, whew, the enemy's living over there. I don't know. Because in my mind, I think, I'm not so sure Jesus Christ isn't hanging out with those peaceful people over there a little bit. You know, Jesus hung out with prostitutes, right? Now, I'm not saying run out to the topless joints or whatever. But I'm saying where we think the enemy is, sometimes I think Jesus is right in the middle of that, and he may call us to embrace that. And because what I always see when I look across the street, or what I usually see and am reminded of, is a beautiful sunrise, a sunset, or just a beautiful setting. And I think God thinks that. Last week we were talking about, you know, where we are and how we look at people. Do we look at them with that same compassion Jesus Christ does? I think God's in a lot of things we think the devil's in. And I think the devil's in a lot of things that we think Jesus Christ is in the midst of. By the way, just an explanation for those that thought I was very stiff and rigid last week, I was. It was that doggone microphone that made so much noise. So we're working on some new things. Our old one broke, but it made so much noise. I was trying to be very careful and not move a whole lot. So that was why I was stiff and looked very confused and out of place, because I was. Because I like wandering and walking, as you guys know. And so it was very hard as I heard that thing pop and make a noise to figure out if I did it or not. As we close today, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember that. Whatever is praiseworthy, meditate on that. Find the people you're sitting around and next to, and find something praiseworthy in them. And if it's your spouse or a parent, that's a place we generally are finding fault in. But find something praiseworthy in the midst of that. It's life-changing, as I said, when we get victory over those things. There's two things that block us from having that and making that happen and having victory. So listen carefully. There's two things that block our path there. Number one, making a choice, choosing to do it. Yet anything praiseworthy? It's so easy to go to these five things that are going wrong. But learn to go to these five things that are going right, that are praiseworthy. So the first roadblock is choosing to do it. The second one, it's simply your discipline. Choosing to do it is one thing, sticking with it is another. What's going good in your life? Not much, man. There's something. You know what? There is something good. You know, whatever. So it's choosing to do it, and then our discipline, sticking with it. That comes with so many different things. New habits, trying to learn new instruments or whatever, new jobs. It's sticking with it. Just like the two roadblocks at the end of this little stretch of road. The one down there and the one here at 59th Street. It says road closed. We've got to choose, are we going to use these blocks in one of two ways? Are we going to use them as stumbling blocks or stepping stones? Amen? Let's choose to use these things as stepping stones and not roadblocks. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. It is living and it is powerful. God, help us to know your word. Help us to be able to apply these things to our life. Something as simple as this. We've read it before. We've read it before and we've read it before. But God, today, let us focus on whatever is praiseworthy and let us meditate on that. Whatever is praiseworthy in our life, Lord, help bring that to the front of our mind, to our focus, rather than the negatives, God. Help us have victory over that area in our life. God, help us do that by the renewing of our mind each day. God, it's not enough to be here on Sunday and think that you're going to change our life in that one visit a week. It has happened. It can happen. But God, you call us to a deeper commitment. It's more than once a week. You call us to study your word, to open it throughout the week. And you call us to not only study it, but to understand it, to believe it, and then to commit to it and apply it. God, as we go out this week, would you just help us? Help us find the praiseworthy in our life. Help us focus on those things. Lord, where they seem distant or non-existent, help us find the smallest thing that we can consider praiseworthy. And help us to meditate on that and think of that thing over and over and over. And God, as I mentioned, where we think that the enemy is in the midst of, I believe Jesus Christ is right in the middle of many of those areas, situations, and people. Help us to embrace others. God, guide our steps as we go out this week. The scriptures say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Help guide our steps with your word. Help guide our tongues and protect us. Lord, as we speak, as we open our mouth, that we're light and salt to those we come in contact with. And we preach Christ to those by our actions and by our words and our deeds. As we do all things as though unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.